the book of Philippians. This month we're looking at Philippians, and we're asking ourselves a really important question. And that is, how in the world can I enjoy the rest of my life? And each week we're looking at some of the key secrets that Paul has given that really explain to you and to me how we can enjoy the rest of our life, whatever happens, how we can really let that happen in our life. I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was about a year ago. I've really tried hard to forget it. But I was sick. I mean, I had that stomach bug. Remember about a year or so ago when everybody in Roswell had it? Well, people love to share things with their pastors. And somebody shared the germs of that with me. And I mean, I was sick. Have you ever been so sick that you thought you were going to die? I mean, I was at that point. It just kept getting worse and worse. And I just got to a point that I thought, oh, I don't think I'm going to live. I think I'm going to die. Then I got worse. And I remember saying to myself as I was crawling across the bedroom floor, going to the bathroom to kneel before the great porcelain throne, I said to myself, I'm afraid I'm going to live. Have you ever been so sick you thought you were going to die, then you got worse and you were afraid you were going to live? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been so sick of living? Have you ever been so stressed out with worry that you thought you were going to die? And then things got worse. And then you were afraid you were going to live. Maybe that's how you feel today in your life. This kind of thinking can certainly lead to one thing. Worry. Have you noticed worry? There's nothing that can take the enjoyment out of living like worry. Thomas Carlyle, the famous writer, had a great story he would tell that he was a great writer, but maybe he didn't know that he required absolute, complete silence whenever he was writing. And for that reason, he built an office that was almost soundproof. There was one problem, though. His next-door neighbor had a rooster. Every single morning, that rooster would crow three times. Well, Carlyle finally he couldn't take it, and he went and he complained to his neighbor. He said, "Your rooster is just driving me crazy. I'm stressed out. I can't write. I can't focus." His neighbor said, "But Mr. Carlyle, the rooster only crows once a day, every morning, three times. It's not that big a deal." And Carlyle says, "I know, but I agonized for hours waiting for him to crow." You know, that's how worry is. Worry causes us to worry and fret about things that may or may not be coming down the way. The great thinker Soren Kierkegaard's definition of worry was only one word. He said, "Worry is tomorrow." Anybody here worried about tomorrow? One thing is for certain, worry is very much like a leech on life. Once worry attaches itself to your life, it has the power to just suck the enjoyment right out of living. Now, just like my sickness experience that I mentioned a moment ago, I'm convinced that our worries, all of us out here, all of our worries can be placed in one of two categories. We're either worried about dying, or we're worried about living. I don't think there's any other category. Which category are your worries in? Are you worried about dying, or is it the worries of life that eat your lunch? The question I want us to explore today briefly is, how can we possibly enjoy the rest of our life when we, number one, have to face the reality of our future death, and number two, as we have to face the present pressures and stresses of life? Well, the good news is the Apostle Paul had to face both of these as he sat in that Roman prison cell when he penned the wonderful letter we know as Philippians. He was facing both the thought of dying and the present pressures of living, and yet somehow he was able to enjoy the rest of his life. Somehow he had been able to eliminate worry. I want to know how he did it. How did he eliminate worry from his life, and how can we learn from him so that we can eliminate worry from our life so we can enjoy the rest of our life? If you have your Bibles open, let's ask ourselves that question from Philippians. How can we eliminate worry from our life? First of all, the first thing we've got to do is we have to learn to change our attitude about death. All right? So number one, we have to change our attitude about death. Look at what Paul says in the middle of verse 18. We're in chapter 1, page 1826. We're in the middle of, if you have an official Bible, 1826. Philippians 1, the middle of verse 18. Paul says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body." Now look at this. "Whether by life or by" what? "Death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." Let's stop the reading there for a moment. We need to change our attitude about death. Americans are scared to death of death. We don't like death. We don't like to face the reality of death. We don't like to touch death. That's why we hire professionals to handle death for us. Have you noticed that? And we pay them a lot of money to put makeup on death and to decorate death so we don't have to look death in the face. Did you hear the Apostle Paul's attitude concerning the uncertainties about his own life and death? Isn't that amazing? What does he say? Look down in verse 22. "Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two." What's the two? Between living or dying. Paul says, "You know, I just don't know which I want." Are you there this morning? Are you sitting there saying, "You know, I don't know if I want to live or die"? Paul says, "I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far." If you want to enjoy the rest of your life, you need to change your attitude about your death. You don't need to fear it as if it were something horrible. You need to see it more as a doorway into eternity. Paul says, "You know, if I die, it's not all that bad. I mean, you meet Jesus Christ, you go to heaven, you pass go, you inherit eternal life. What a great deal." Paul says, "As I weigh the two out, it looks pretty good." I tried to think of one word that I think describes Paul's attitude that helped him enjoy the rest of his life. And I think I've got it. Here's the word. Whatever. Whatever. I want to challenge all of you today to become whatever Christians. If I live, if I die, whatever. Whatever. Isn't that a great attitude? Now see, if you're thinking about your death going, "Oh no, what if I die?" Or if you're thinking about your life and how am I going to handle life, you're not going to enjoy the rest of your life. But if you learn to face death and learn to face life and just say, "Well, you know, my life is in the Lord's hands. He knows what I need. He knows the day that He needs to call me home. So, whatever He decides is fine with me." All that matters, according to Paul, is that Jesus Christ be exalted either in my life or in my death. Learn to be a whatever Christian. Whatever happens is fine. As long as, if I live, that I exalt Jesus Christ. If I die, that in my death, Jesus Christ is exalted. For Paul, that's all that matters. And for the rest of it, whatever. By the way, is there anything worse than death? Is there anything worse than death? The answer is yes, according to Paul. You know what's worse than death? Life. That's what he says. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. That's a nice way of saying, man, there's no comparison. Death means going to be with Christ. Now, life is good. Don't get me wrong. Life is great for a Christian. It's just not as good as dying and going to heaven. Does this describe your attitude toward your death? Do you remember and do you know in the depth of your spirit that you do not have to fear death? Because Jesus Christ has taken the sting out of death. Remember the story I told you guys not too long ago about the family? They were driving down the country road one spring day, and a bee flew in the car and started buzzing around the car. The little boy in the back seat just freaked out for good reason. He was allergic to bee stings. And he started screaming and yelling. And his father, driving the car, quickly noticed what was going on. I don't know how he did it, but in a split second, that father reached out his hand and grabbed the bee in his fist and closed his hand. Well, the minute he did this, the little boy settled down. But then the father opened his hand up and the bee started buzzing around again. And the kid started screaming to the top of his lungs. And the father says, son, you no longer have to scream. Look, look in the palm of my hand. And there in the palm of his hand was the stinger of the bee. And the father said, son, the bee will buzz, but he cannot sting. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus Christ has taken the sting out of death. You no longer have to be afraid of dying. It's okay. It really is. Now, don't get me wrong. Life is great. It's nothing compared to what's on the other side of death. So let's don't have an unhealthy fear of death. It'll keep you from enjoying the rest of your life. You want to eliminate worry from your life, then you need to change your attitude about death. Number two, if you're going to enjoy the rest of your life, you need to change your attitude about life. You need to change your attitude about life, specifically about what's coming around the corner. You find yourself worrying about what's coming around the corner? All right, listen as I read what Paul said about what's coming around his corner. As we go through here, here's what I want you to ask yourself. What's Paul's attitude about what's coming around the corner? Are you ready? Where do we leave off? How about verse 27? Oh my goodness. What's that first word? Whatever. Whatever. Look at Paul. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here that I still have. Did you get Paul's attitude about his life and about the uncertainties of his future? Whatever happens. You know, Paul's future and the future of the Christians at Philippi were a whole lot like the futures that you and I face every day. Full of uncertainties. Who in this audience today knows what's coming tomorrow? Listen, you don't even know if tomorrow is coming. You have no idea. Look at Paul's attitude. Paul says, you know, I may be martyred, I may be released. I may come and see you, or I may never see you again. I may face opposition, you may face opposition, you may suffer, you may struggle. Whatever. Whatever. Paul's attitude, again, is whatever. All that matters, according to Paul, is... Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I reading the text right? Paul says, whatever happens, that's not the issue. The real concern is, are you conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see that? Whatever happens, verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. All that matters is that we do that. All that matters, according to Paul, is that we stand firm in one spirit, contending for the gospel. All that matters, according to Paul, is that we be not frightened of those who might oppose us and stand against the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, we can trust God. All right, now here's another question. According to Paul, is there anything worse than life? Yeah. You know, we found out there's something worse than death, and that is life. Is there anything worse than life? Yes. Life without a purpose. Life without a mission. Life without a dream. You want to enjoy the rest of your life? It will not come by eliminating all opposition, all pain, and all suffering. That is not the way to find enjoyment. If that's the case, then why do we spend so much time trying to avoid pain and avoid suffering? Last time I checked, you guys aren't doing a very good job avoiding it. If your happiness and enjoyment of life is dependent upon changing the circumstances to a point and a level where there's no pain or enjoyment, then you're going to be waiting a long time to enjoy the rest of your life. Because this side of death and this side of the second coming, friend, life is tough. Life is difficult. And there's going to be pain and suffering. So somehow, if we're going to enjoy the rest of our life, it can be depended upon eliminating pain and suffering. What it's going to be dependent on is our changing our attitude toward those things. And the attitude is simply this, friend. Whatever happens, God is in control. Whatever happens, I can trust Him with my life. Whatever happens, I know it will work out in the end. So you tell me, how are you doing? Does this attitude describe you? Are you able to look at the present pain, suffering, stress, concerns of your life and say, Lord, it just doesn't matter. Ultimately, whatever happens, I'm just going to conduct myself the way you want me to. I'm going to live my life trusting you. I'm going to put my faith in you. And I'm going to trust that you're going to work things out. Does this describe your attitude concerning your life? Are you living with a purpose or are you just taking up space? You ever heard this little poem entitled The Cautious Man? There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And when one day he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they said he never died. Live your life with a purpose so that when you die, the insurance company will have no question about paying the premium and paying the benefit for you because they know you have truly, truly lived. If you want to eliminate worry from your life, you need to change two attitudes. You need to change your attitude about death. And you need to change your attitude about life. Remember the story I told you guys before about the fellow who went into the psychiatrist's office? And he was just a bundle of worry and stress and misery. And the psychiatrist said, well, can you tell me what's troubling you? And the man just started pouring out a litany of problems. The psychiatrist stopped him and says, listen, you're going to confuse me and get me stressed out. What I want you to do is take this 3x5 card and write down, well, just boil it down to the three top things that's causing worry and stress in your life. And I'm going to give you 10 minutes. And he left the room and he came back in and the man said, I've got it down. I've got it to three things. And the psychiatrist took the card and at the top it said, the three things that worry me most in life are my past, my present, and my future. What's worrying you? Is it your past? Is it the present stress? Is it the fear of death coming in the future? You know, the real tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. Let's stop waiting so long to begin it. Some of you are saying, yeah, I'm going to start really enjoying my life as soon as I get around this corner, as soon as I get through this struggle, as soon as I recover from this or from that, as soon as my finances settle down, as soon as my kids grow up and get off to college, then I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life. Come on, folks. Let's start enjoying life today. Would you like to begin today, to enjoy the rest of your life? It happens when you just commit your life to Jesus Christ and you commit everything about you. You say, Lord, I want you to take care of my past. I've messed up big time. Jesus says, I'll forgive it. Lord, I want you just to take care of my present. Jesus says, I will move into your life and I will never leave you or forsake you. And Lord, I'm afraid of the future and I want to entrust my future to you. The Lord says, listen, my friend, I'm in charge of your future. As a matter of fact, I'm not limited and controlled by time and space. I've already been to your future, and I've taken care of everything. You give your life to me, you spend eternity with me in heaven. Jesus Christ will cover your past. He will invade your present with new meaning and purpose, and He will cover you for the future. He will cover your entire life. And once you discover that your entire life has been covered by Jesus Christ, the most amazing thing will happen to you. You will start to enjoy the rest of your life. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we need to be whatever Christians. Give us a whatever attitude so that we can truly begin to enjoy the rest of our life. Lord, we want to make our lives count for you, but we know it can't happen if we're controlled by worry and stress. Father, deliver us from that so that our focus is totally and completely on you, so that worry dissolves and faith takes over. This, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen.